The hijacker at one point demanded to meet with one of the EU representatives, and at another point he demanded that the plane go to another airport.
They're trying to make the argument that Trump can still be stopped, and frankly it has to happen in Wisconsin. If it's going to happen at all, it means stopping him in Wisconsin.
He's going to be in Wisconsin the whole week. Because if we win Wisconsin, it's like going to be over.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. It is 5:09, and it is Wednesday, March 30th, 2016. Welcome to another business day. Welcome to another edition of The Opening Bell. And it is another day. Life goes on after Janet Yellen, her big speech yesterday, seemed to buoy the markets around the world and here in the United States. The Dow ended the day yesterday higher, and European stocks mostly higher today. Asian stocks doing mostly well as well. The futures are pointing toward a higher open on Wall Street this morning. We begin from the WGN Market Desk with your overnight global intel. And Janet Yellen is our lead story this morning. Global economic and financial uncertainty has heightened the risk to the U.S. economy and justified a slower path of interest rate increases. That's what Janet Yellen told an audience yesterday in New York at the Economic Club of New York. She stuck to her cautious tone about moving forward with interest rates.
The committee stated in December and reiterated at the two subsequent meetings that it expects that economic conditions will evolve in a manner that will warrant only gradual increases in the federal funds rate. This forecast is not a plan set in stone that will be carried out regardless of economic developments. Instead, monetary policy will, as always, respond to the economy's twists and turns.
And markets like that yesterday, as I mentioned, the Dow Jones Industrial ended the day in positive territory yesterday, adding almost a percent, up 97 points. The Standard & Poor up 17 points, almost 18 points, almost a percent. And the NASDAQ Composite Index climbed about 79 points, or about 1.5%. Softer growth prospects for China and a weak recovery in major industrial economies are expected to push down economic growth in developing Asia to 5.7% in 2016 and 2017. That's below previous projections. That's one of the big global headlines this morning. Benchmark U.S. crude oil is higher, but still under $39 a barrel. The dollar declined against the yen and the euro. The calendar today, there's just one major economic report due out today. It is payroll processor ADP reporting on how many jobs U.S. private companies added during the month of March. Chicago-based Boeing is reportedly taking steps to eliminate 10% of its workforce in Washington State. The Seattle Times is reporting this morning the aerospace giant has already taken steps to eliminate 4,000 jobs by June and is aiming for about 10% overall, which would mean about 8,000 positions in Washington. In February, the company announced it would be eliminating commercial airplane jobs as part of a cost-cutting effort, Boeing based in Chicago, as I mentioned. Also this morning, the FBI battle against Apple, is it really over? Maybe not, says one report. The FBI's announcement that it has hacked into the iPhone made big news yesterday, but there was a quiet move in New York State to continue a case against Apple, it's a small drug case, where Apple wants to get into, where the FBI wants to get into an iPhone. The government's announcement means that this bigger case will not proceed. But they are continuing that smaller case, which raises the question, do they really get into the iPhone? And what is next for privacy? And what more do they want from Apple? Also this morning, the U.S. News and World Report is out with its annual rankings of grad schools. And two schools in the Chicago area have reason to be happy today. Northwestern University Business School is ranked high, and so is Northern Illinois University. Joining us on the news line this morning for the opening bell is Rita Athes. She's the former president, current senior advisor at World Business Chicago. She happens to have an MBA from Northern Illinois University. Rita, good morning. Welcome to the opening bell.
Good morning, Steve.
You're an NIU alum. This is good news. I think NIU is ranked sixth in its Masters of Public Administration program. That's a pretty decent feather in the cap for Northern.
Definitely. And that's correct. I got my Master's in Public Administration in 1978 from Northern, and the program was strong then and obviously still growing, going strong as we go forward.
What are the reasons for that? Why is this small little college in the northern part of Illinois so well-renowned across the country?
Well, it's always had a real emphasis on public administration and the public administration program. It provides a lot of options for students of all ages and backgrounds. For example, I went on to get my master's after I'd already been married and had two children, and it's very flexible. Besides its great academic performance and standards, the other thing I think that's key to Northern's program is the internship. You start an internship in the program almost as soon as you start your classes, and that gives you real hands-on experience, which I think is critical to the success of any program. What? Northern also dominates in Illinois as far as city management and the number of people in city management positions in Illinois.
And you're certainly one good example of that as the former president of World Business Chicago and all of the other things that you've done. We want to talk a little bit about that and maybe where things stand right now with women in business especially. We will continue our conversation with Rita Affis, the former president and advisor at World Business Chicago, about Northern Illinois University and the U.S. News & World Report ranking of them on their top list of Masters of Public Administration Programs, Biz School, and Master's Graduate Programs rankings.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. Asian stocks were mostly higher overnight, tracking the climb of U.S. shares as investors welcomed the latest signal from the Federal Reserve that it will move slowly to raise interest rates this year. Tokyo's Nikkei was bucking the trend and was trading lower. Wall Street stocks closed at their highest level of the year yesterday. The Dow rose nearly 100 points to 17,633. The S&P 500 picked up 18 points. Tech stocks drove up the NASDAQ composite by 80 points. The Boeing company is reportedly moving to eliminate 10% of its workforce in Washington state. The Seattle Times reports the aerospace giant has already taken steps to eliminate 4,000 positions by June as part of a wider cost-cutting effort. A jury in a New York City trial stemming from the General Motors ignition switch controversy heads into a second day of deliberations today. That trial is going to be used as a template to define the legal boundaries for similar unsettled claims against GM related to those ignition switches. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. On The Opening Bell this morning, we're talking with Rita Affis, the former president of World Business Chicago, a senior advisor there. Northern Illinois University is ranked sixth on U.S. News World Report's annual ranking of grad schools. Rita, I'm interested. You mentioned that Northern has this way of welcoming people of all ages. What considerations should somebody take before they go into grad school, especially business grad school?
Well, you know, I think they should think about the time and commitment, but also on finding a program that really helps them with what they're trying to do and accomplish. And I think with Northern's program, I think sometimes people don't think about public administration as having such a strong business core and how you really get a very professional degree and yet you're able to operate in the public sector. So you get to cross both worlds. And I think if you're thinking about a graduate degree, someplace like Northern really makes an enormous amount of sense. Northern also provides, as I said before, the flexibility. They really are concerned about their students and the work-life balance. And I think as you go to pursue a master's, you're at a different stage in your life, usually, and those things become extremely important.
What challenges are there in this sector of business in terms of diversity and getting more women in positions of management? We've been discussing regularly here on The Opening Bell the lack of women CEOs around the world. Is there a void here that needs to be filled, I guess is what I'm trying to ask?
Oh, definitely. I think, from when I was in the program, Stephen, there were very, very few women, especially in the city management section. There are more now, but not at all, kind of like the CEOs in boardrooms, not at all at the numbers that they should be. And I think that women would find, again, these types of jobs offer flexibility and also give you a job that's very, very meaningful. And so I think for women to consider public administration someplace like Northern would be a good thing. We need more women in most positions and definitely in public administration because it's so community oriented.
And I guess the question, the bigger question is globally, locally, is there still this wall, this glass wall or glass ceiling, whatever you'd like to refer to it as, that's nobody's really talking about openly?
You know, I think there is, but I also think in something like public administration, where you're dealing with local elected boards, a number of those boards have female aldermen or councilmen, and the number of women mayors has really accelerated over the years. And they tend to be very open and supportive of women in these positions. So we always have a long way to go. But I think public administration is a field that has early on and continues to embrace women in the upper echelons of positions.
I was recently having a discussion with a political advisor who I won't name, but the private discussion was, we need more good people in public administration. We need more honest people in public administration. The level of corruption, the level of malfeasance is so to the point where people just don't even want to vote anymore. This is a big problem. How are we going to address this and get good people like you in management positions and running our governments and maybe even running for office?
Well, I think there's two things. First is getting the background and the skill sets, which you get at some place like Northern and get them very well. But secondly, I think we need to tell young people that, you know, these, again, are jobs that you really get to do hands-on work early on. I was always amazed at what I was able to do at a very, very young age. And you can move up the ranks in public administration, and it is extremely rewarding. And I think especially younger people now, the millennials, are looking for something that's really meaningful. And public administration gives you the ability to do that and yet also do it in an extremely professional way. And I think we need professionals more than ever in public administration and in government.
And you mentioned millennials there, but back to the older set, if people are thinking about going back to school, there's plenty of room for everybody in this mix, right?
Oh, definitely. And like I said, I'm probably one of the prime examples of that going back when I'd already had children. And I think it's a field where you can do that work-life balance. And Northern certainly helps you do that. And, you know, back to your comment before, Steve, I think probably now more than ever, it's important that people consider public administration as a field, not only in city government, but also non-for-profits and some of the other programs that Northern is known for in their public administration program. There's even an emphasis now on a more global mindset as the world changes. So it's not just limited to city management or to local politics. It also is on the state and even the world level.
Rita Ephes, the former president of World Business Chicago, current senior advisor there, and most importantly, a master's of public administration grad at Northern Illinois University, which again ranks sixth in the nation, according to U.S. News and World Report's annual rankings. Rita, thanks for being with us on the Opening Bell this morning.
Thanks a lot, Steve. Have a great day.
You too. And congratulations again to the Huskies. By the way, they're celebrating their 50th anniversary, the NIU MPA program. It's, by the way, the oldest in the state, the recognized internationally, not just here in the United States and Illinois for its excellence. Again, ranked sixth on the U.S. News report of grad schools, tied for 14th in the nation with Harvard in the field of public finance and budgeting. Program also made its debut in the field of public management administration, ranking 30th.
WGN Radio's Daily Conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
It's 5:37. Welcome back to the program. The Exchange 2016, the Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce's biggest networking event of the year, is April 6th. And the Exchange this year will feature a panel discussion, dynamic panel discussion, that'll be focused on the importance of social impact for modern business success. Among some of the speakers is Steve Dime, who's the CEO of Flowers for Dreams, Andre Johannes, the editor of the Chicago Tribune's Blue Sky Innovation Division, and Calvin Jin, the CFO of Blue Plate Catering. The keynote speaker this year will be Jacques Panisse, the president of Shinola, and he is with us on the opening bell this morning. Jacques, good morning. Welcome to the opening bell, and thank you for being with us.
Yeah, good morning. Thank you for having us.
Well, I want to
be here.
Now, I want to begin with this. It's a promotional video that I found on your website. It'll give our listeners an idea of what Shinola is all about.
There's a funny thing that happens when you build factories in this country. It's called jobs. It hasn't been easy, but easy has never been a Detroit thing. We always said if we could build watches here, we could build anything here. What we've really built is a family.
And so that's one of the videos that we found, and it sort of does, in a nutshell, talk about what Shinola has done in Detroit. And this whole idea of taking a community, reinventing it, rebuilding it, is that what you're all about? Is that what Shinola is all about?
Shinola is a job creation vehicle, and we're doing that in Detroit. Today we're up to 540 people globally. About 350 people in Detroit. 240 of those are in manufacturing, and that's what gets us up and gets us going every single day is the fact that we're training the workforce in Detroit to build watches, manufacture leather straps, small leather goods. We're building bicycles in Detroit, so it's about creating jobs in that great city and the city that arguably is rooted in manufacturing and built our country. It's the backbone of our country.
So what is the impact that you're seeing there, and are you finding success? And is this impact something that can be replicated in other cities like Detroit?
We believe so. We've seen great success in working in the community there in Detroit, being part of the community in Detroit. We always say we've received the great Detroit bear hug, which implies that the city has embraced us. We've embraced the city, and Detroit is a town that has done so much for Shinola. People often ask us what contribution has Shinola had to the revitalization of Detroit? And it's not about the contribution that Shinola has had. It's about the contribution that Detroit has had towards Shinola. It's been absolutely incredible.
And are you seeing more than just people getting jobs? Are you seeing a real change in the places where you're located there?
Absolutely. You know, the city is on a major rebound. You have folks, Dan Gilbert, Roger Penske, Paul Reisner at Tech Town, folks who are making a real impact and a real change, creating jobs, creating opportunity in the city for the community. It's very exciting and such a wonderful town to be in and be part of what I would argue the greatest city in this country at this point.
Watches, bikes, leather accessories, journals, all of these things are under one brand. That's not something that we normally see. First of all, what is the secret to your success with that? And how do these new products get born and find places like Detroit to live?
Sure. It all begins with quality, craft, and world-class manufacturing for us. And so when you look at opportunities from a category perspective, we look for goods that we can make here in the United States, categories that left our shores. If you look back, 40, 50 years, watch manufacturing here in the United States was thriving, especially on the East Coast. And so we believe that we can onshore those categories again, and train folks in the United States to make bicycles, leather goods, watches, the things that we're doing. Journal books, for example. We're making all of our journal books over in Ann Arbor. And journal books haven't been made in Ann Arbor ever that we know of. But we're making a journal book in Ann Arbor that is, you know, from sustainable forests, acid-free paper, Smythe sewn, and is of the highest possible quality one can accomplish here in the world, quite frankly.
And you've sort of branched out. You mentioned Ann Arbor there, but you also have in Chicago one of your sources for leather, if I'm not mistaken.
Absolutely. We've sourced leather since the beginning from Horween. Skip and Nick over at Horween, wonderful family, incredible operation there in Chicago. And, you know, we also have a store in Bucktown on Damon Street. We love Chicago. And Chicago is another one of those cities that has embraced this brand and has been a wonderful, wonderful community for us to be part of. We've worked very closely with Blackstone Bicycles, an incredible bike shop there that's working with inner city kids and training inner city kids to work on bikes and how to operate a bicycle shop there in Chicago down in the South Side. So we've really enjoyed being there in Chicago and being part of that community as well.
You've described already some of the passion points that are behind the brand, but I'm curious if you could address this notion that we can't have manufacturing jobs in America anymore because our workers are too expensive, it's too costly. There's blah, you know, after excuse after excuse after excuse, you're finding that's not the case. What do you tell those other people?
We believe that we have to stop this knee-jerk reaction to when we need things made that you go offshore. The cost of labor is increasing offshore. The quality is decreasing offshore. Transportation costs are rising. You know, over in the Far East, there's now environmental regulations that are causing an increase in the cost of manufacturing offshore in that region or part of the world. And when you factor all of those pieces of the puzzle into an equation, it ends up that you're very close to the same exact cost of making here in the United States. And we believe that making here in the United States is so valuable and so important that one or a company can work its way around the idea of going offshore and acquiring parts or goods, finished goods, for cheaper than you can here in the United States. And we're proving that. And we're proving that it can be done here in the U.S.
We're talking with Jacques Panisse, who's the president of Shinola. He's going to be at the Exchange 2016 next year, the Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce. Jacques, I'd like to ask you if you'd stay with us through the break here, and we'll be back in another segment. I have more questions for you, if that's okay.
Sure thing. Look forward to it.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
It's 5:49. Dow futures pointing toward a higher open on Wall Street this morning. From the market desk, the Dow futures up 110. The S&P futures up about 13. The Nasdaq futures up about 33. Commodities now. Here's Orion Samuelson.
Steve, good morning. As we look at yesterday's livestock trade, cash hogs in the Midwest traded mixed yesterday as packers filled inventories according to their needs through the balance of this week. Plants that were open Easter Monday probably will maintain at least steady cash bids, particularly if they do need more hogs for Saturday. Tuesday's average packer margins estimated at $24.95 a head, and that's up from $22.35 on Monday. Now, as we look at livestock futures yesterday, lean hog futures gained for a second straight day in a quiet session. Short covering and technical buying coming into the market. April lean hogs up 32 cents for the day, and May hogs up 57 cents for the day. Grain trade yesterday, the weather again playing a factor. Forecasts suggesting that the southern plains in winter wheat country could stay dry. Have a good day. I'm Orion Samuelson.
Thanks, Orion. It's the opening bell, 5:51. We're back with Jacques Benice, who's the president of Shinola. He's going to be the keynote presenter at the Exchange 2016, April 6th here in Chicago, sponsored by the Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce. And Jacques, I'm interested to get your feedback on this or your input on this. Do you find that there was a hunger among American consumers to buy American again? I remember when I was a kid, we had the Buy American label and the Made in the USA label. Is that coming back?
We believe it is. You know, when you look at the consumer trends and habits today, we look at food, or we compare it to food. We want to know where our food comes from. We want to know the name of the chicken that laid the egg on the farmer's farm in what city or what town or what farm in the United States. And we're seeing that trend happen across consumer goods categories as well. Not that it's necessarily about made in America, but it's about where does it come from? Who made it? Why did they make it? Where did they make it? All of those factors are playing a big role in what is driving this desire among consumers to purchase locally, I would say, rather than just made in America.
And if you go to your website, Shinola.com, you can follow Shinola on Twitter, at Shinola. One of the things I was struck by looking at some of the photographs is you mentioned the leather makers here in Chicago, and I've seen some of the storefronts of some of your places in Detroit and here. You find these wonderful places that have this rich history behind them, whether it's a family history or just a local history. That, too, wants me to shop at Shinola because of that. It's sort of that rich heritage of a community.
Sure. Community is number one for Shinola. I mean, we focus very, very heavily on community and what is happening in and around the communities in which we operate. Shinola is a brand that's rooted in history and heritage. It's an old shoe polish brand that was started back in 1907. And we acquired the brand about 4 years ago and decided to do what we're doing today, which is creating jobs in America and building things in the United States, manufacturing leather goods in the United States, journal books, et cetera. So the places in which we operate, in which we live, are critical to the success of this business and to our mission, quite frankly.
My producer, Mary Sandberg, is a big fan of Shinola. She wanted me to ask you about the bag that you give folks with some of your goods inside. It's an $11 bag that you have made here in the U.S. You could spend a buck to make it somewhere else in the world, but you don't. And that brings a question. It's, what is the cost to you for doing this?
The cost to us is it's job creation. It's job creation. If we go offshore, it's taking away opportunity from folks here in the United States. And we believe that there's value to making things here in the U.S. and obviously to our economy and to the sustainability of our country and what we're doing here in the United States. We have got to make things here and continue creating jobs in this country.
And the elephant in the room as we wrap up our conversation here that, and again, we can't say the word, so don't, but people are, you know, thinking of the Shinola and, you know, it's blank from Shinola. Is that where your name came from?
Well, that's the brand, yes. Yeah. And the blank from Shinola saying came from, it's an old story, during the war, all of the GIs carried a can of Shinola shoe polish in their rucksacks. And by the way, we're making Shinola shoe polish today in Chicago as well with the company there. And anyway, so there was a general who would cross the base every morning and hand his shoes off to the grunts, and instead of using Shinola shoe polish, they used the other S word, and so the saying started that the general doesn't know bleep from Shinola, and that has stuck around for many, many years, and is something that we love and have embraced, and we don't use it in our marketing, but it's something that we commonly encounter, and it's something that we always brings a smile to our face, and Shinola brings a smile to our face. It's something that we're very honored and very humbled to be part of. of. It's been a lot of fun.
Well, the rich history there, again, goes back many, many years, and the heritage and, you know, embracing all of this is just wonderful. Jacques Panisse is the president of Shinola. He's going to be at the Exchange 2016 Chicagoland Chamber of Commerce. You can follow the company at Shinola, shinola.com. Well, thanks for being with us in the opening bell, and we'll be closely watching Shinola, and best of luck to you.
Thanks so much. Really appreciate the opportunity to be with you this morning, and big high five to everyone in Chicago.
All right, thank you. It's 5:57. That's our program for today. The Steve Cochran Show is coming up next. We want to thank our producer, Mary Sandberg, production help from Mike Jacobson this morning, our engineer, as always, Ben Cortez. We will be back bright and early tomorrow morning with another edition of The Opening Bell. I'm Steve Grzanich. Have a great day.